All right, everybody, welcome, welcome. It is time for another Toolbox Tuesday.
Yeah, so back to talking about finances and kind of how that can clog the system if those protocols are not in place. And they do. They clog the system even if the protocols are in place, but how to minimize that risk.
And if you have not been with us before, every Tuesday in our practices, we call Toolbox Tuesday. Our huddles all have a theme where we pick one tool in our hundreds of tools that we have in our resource library to make sure that everyone is on the same page because it can be difficult to remember all of the resources that they have available at their disposal. And we're revisiting financial policies because that was one that you guys actually responded to and had the most questions on about how to implement financial policies. Everyone thinks that they have financial policies, but when you start to break it down, you realize how many, in air quotes, in case you're just listening, special arrangements we have for patients. And that's taking a doctor away from production if you have to be involved in those financial conversations.
Right. And from a doctor's standpoint, that's the biggest part. And we see that a lot, actually. We try to minimize as much as possible, but when the doctor has to have a financial conversation, definitely at the exam or the treatment planning appointment, that clogs the system a lot for the flow of the day and that doctor getting to those next patients that's gonna, try to get them done time, try to produce everything. But the one that really, really is detrimental is when they have the financial conversation at the treatment appointment. And that is the one that really becomes problematic because, I mean, sometimes we can be 20, 30, 40 minutes into an appointment, and especially if we're trying to, run a pretty tight schedule some days, that's very, very detrimental. So having these protocols set and making sure the patient knows exactly what's expected of them on the day of the appointment is so important because it's, anything we do that's not outside of our license is hurting our goals, right? We're not going to hit our goals. We're not going to get our younger docs to that $1 million mark if they're having to have financial conversations during treatment or during exams.
So we talked about this. We've talked about this a couple of times about having our top 10 patient scenario sound offs that our team all knows. So we're not looking for people to be robots, but we want to make sure that they know how to respond to situations the way that we want them to respond to situations so that it's not, I have to run back and ask a doctor who is in production, who's going to have to be interrupted, who does not want to deal with this in the course of their production day when they should be focused on clinical production. We have to expect that patients are going to have objections. We have to expect that they're going to question things, and arming your team with the tools on how to respond to that gives them the power to man or woman their zone so that we know things are being executed properly.
Right. And everyone has a role in our practice. We have a lot of overlap. We definitely have a lot of cross training, but we have a financial zone, and these people are in charge of that. And it's definitely checked off exactly what the patient is presented, what they're expected of, and everyone knows kind of what step along the life cycle of that scheduling it is, whether they paid, whatever it is. We have different acronyms, different codes, things like that in our practice, kind of relay through Slack or through different communication systems, so that we know exactly where that patient is.
So if you joined us when we started the Financial Policy Toolbox Tuesday, you'll see that we have it laid out. And this is a document that we share with our patients about what the financial responsibilities are on both sides of things so that they know when they walk in the door, they're responsible to pay for their treatment the day of service. If there's a past due balance after their last visit, they're responsible to pay for that on the day of service. So the couple of objections that have increased, at least in our practices over the last couple of months, our patients not wanting to pay balances after insurance has paid a claim. Now, we have some people who are trying to work the system. We have some people who flat out say, I know you have to finish that crown even if I don't pay for it. Yes, there are people who are really trying to work the system out there in the world. That again is not every single patient. Okay. From a patient's perspective, if they paid at the time of service last time, they're assuming that everything is taken care of and they don't owe anything else. Sometimes it's just them needing to understand, hey, there was a little bit of balance that was left over. Insurance didn't pay as we estimated. This is not medical. And sometimes patients need the patient education about that, that this is not you going to the hospital and there's a $1 million bill that the hospital ends up writing off $800,000 for. This is not the same. We're billing out for service. And if insurance pays something different than estimated, the patient is responsible for that difference. This is also not a let me go run back to the doctor and see if there's going to be a wink, wink, nod, nod special arrangement. And I'll just write that balance off for you, patient X, because I don't want to rock the boat. That puts our doctors in a very uncomfortable situation. And You can't do that technically from your, if you have an insurance contract, you're not allowed to play favorites and just write off balances for patients. So we keep that very separate. Our front office is handling those conversations, and you do not want to be in a situation as a doctor where a patient is sitting in your chair and they want to have a financial policy or financial arrangement conversation with you when you're starting your crown prep.
Yeah, and I think the other side of that coin is we have had some doctors, and every doctor wants to be the hero. They want to be the nice guy. They want to build a reputation of being the advocate for the patient. What a lot of times, especially we see this in younger doctors, what a lot of times what that turns into is I want to tell the patient they don't have to pay, or that something's going to be a little bit cheaper, or whatever it is, right? And the stress that puts on your front office is astronomical, because they're put in a situation where they've told the patient one thing, and then you went right around them and told them something completely different. And even though that wasn't generally our intention as doctors to do that, it really erodes the trust between the front office and the doctor. It definitely erodes the trust between the patient and the front office, which is
Right.
almost worst, because you essentially prevent them from even having any kind of authority or even any kind of conversation with a patient that really is firm, is sticky financial conversation. They're always going to be asking to talk to the doctor in those situations, and that's where it puts the doctor in a really tough situation, whether the patient's not going to pay because of that, or then it becomes a situation where you let me not pay two or three times, and now this time all of a sudden you're being a jerk and making me pay. And that's the only thing they see. They don't see the black and white of this is what insurance paid, this is what they didn't. They're seeing the relationship aspect of it, and that relationship they're valuing because the doctor told them they didn't have to pay. And that is not the professional relationship we want to build in their practices. And I don't think that's a professional relationship that anyone wants to build. And it's very, very easy to fall into that. And it's very, very hard to get out of it.
And I mean, from a team perspective, the financial conversations are always the most difficult, right? Patients get emotionally charged when it comes to finances. This is not their idea of a good time, right? No one, maybe whitening aside, is running into our door saying, I want to spend $2,000 on this treatment today. Not their idea of a good time. Your front office or your back office, whoever, again, we have a lot of cross training in our practices so that whoever is available can help a patient. They're not going to want to go to bat for you if you undermine them or they just had a hard conversation on your behalf that you just wiped off that balance. Why are they going to try the next time around? And then you're frustrated wondering, why didn't you collect that balance? Well, because an hour ago, I went through the ringer and it didn't matter, right? Because you're going to side with the patient. So why even bother? That's what ends up happening.
Yeah, and especially with the protocols, especially if you have set protocols you've written down, you've taken the time to test them, you've taken the time to document, make videos, everything around it. And then if we don't follow them as doctors, your team is not going to follow any of them, right? And so, I mean, I know if you don't follow one and it's a special circumstance, they don't understand why that's a special circumstance, and every other situation is not. They're constantly going to be looking for those quote unquote kind of special circumstances where they can not do what they're trained to do, and they can just kind of do whatever the patient, take the easy way out. They don't want, no one wants to have confrontation, excuse me. No one wants to tell the patient they owe more money. But the fact is, we have to, in the service business, this is how we make money, is collecting.
And the other part of this that we've talked about with our exam flow and our treatment presentation is we really want our doctors to separate themselves from the finances altogether. Not that they shouldn't be asking a patient about their budget, if we're talking about a treatment plan and their goals, but we don't ever want there to be the perception from a patient's perspective that a treatment plan is being presented to them strictly because of finances. Because I told the doctor that I have $5,000 in my budget, all of a sudden I have a treatment plan for $5,000. Did I really need that treatment? Or are they just building out a treatment because they said that that's what is in my pocketbook? Or the flip side, I mean, if someone doesn't have the finances for a treatment plan, if they tell us they're not able to afford anything out of pocket, we're not giving that treatment, a patient a treatment plan for $60,000. But we also don't want a patient to think that if they say they need to figure out financing, that we're not going to treat them the same as everyone else and still give them the options that are available to them. It goes in both directions. So really keeping our providers separate from that. We've said it time and time again. We want our doctors to focus on the things that they have to do from a license standpoint and not anything that is taking them away from their production.
Right, because any of these situations we just talked about is absolutely taking production away from the doctors, right? especially if we're not collecting in certain situations, right? And so when we're having to have these stressful conversations, one, it's going to be taking our time away from that production. And two, we're not supporting the team that's going to drive the production for us in the future, which is really, really detrimental. So in order for our docs to hit that $1 million and above, they need to essentially default to the front office in every financial situation. We're just not the best people to handle it, for one. And the patients are always looking for something that we're going to give them.
The second thing that has come up more frequently for us, and it sounds like it's the same for other offices countrywide and for some of our private clients who are having similar issues, is an uptick in cancellations over the last 6 months or so. Now, there's always going to be a COVID outbreak, strep outbreak, flu, RSV, all of the things, right? We're not looking to have a patient come into the office projectile vomiting, but especially since COVID, we've seen everyone is, again, I'm using air quotes for those of you who are listening, they're sick with XYZ, what have you, or family emergencies have been the latest and greatest thing, you know. And I'm not saying that we are monsters. We're not, right? We're empathetic to people when they have situations come up, but, you know, even, hey, the car wouldn't start. Okay, can you grab an Uber? I know you're going to be probably 15, 20 minutes late, but we have this time on the schedule. You know, Sen has said many times, you don't go have surgery at the hospital and cancel because you got a flat tire, right? Like, things happen, but we also live in a world where there's ways around that. So instead of just accepting that there's a family emergency, okay, hey, let's ask the question behind the question. A patient may be assuming that, hey, they had a funeral, a family member passed away. They have a funeral out of state at the end of the week. You can go out of state with a temporary crown. They may not know that, right? They might just assume that they have to be in town for a full month. Let's ask one more question and see what we can do to keep that production on the schedule. And again, from a doctor standpoint, expecting this from your team and arming them with the tools of how to respond and asking one more question, that enables you to keep that production on your schedule. No one wants to come in for the day and have a $10,000 production day that falls apart because everyone has, again, in air quotes, a family emergency.
Right. And I think the flip side of that too, though, is we talk a lot about being on time, that this time is reserved for your appointment for this patient. We've had a number of patients call and cancel because they're going to be 10 minutes late or 15 minutes late. And not knowing that we can work around it, just let us know, just communicate with us. And if we ask that one more question, like Jennifer just said, we might find out, yeah, if they just get there 15 minutes, maybe the doctor can go do an exam before we can kind of get another patient in. Maybe he can finish some more treatment on another patient that he didn't think he was going to have time to do, or add more treatment, whatever it is. But we can work around it as long as we know. And so that's that one more question that's really, really important.
And making sure again that your patients are clear on the expectations. This is part of our financial policies that we present to our patients. They sign off on when they come in for their first visit, and we renew it every year when we're doing our HIPAA updates. We require 48 hours business notice. This does not mean that they can change their mind on Saturday night and they're going to shoot us an email when they know that no one is going to be responding to it to just get out of missing their appointments. And we've gone through role playing with our team before. And they all laugh at me, which is fine. I have no problem with it. If a patient is trying to cancel on me, I'm in physical pain when I'm taking that phone conversation. You know, patient is on the phone trying to cancel. I go, really? Is there really not any way that we can make it? And put it back on them a little bit of like, let's see what we can do here. We projected out this production. As Sten said, this time is reserved for you. We do not triple book our patients here, right? This is not, if one falls off, we're happy about it because we have two others on the schedule. Our doctors stay butt in the chair with our patients when they have that scheduled appointment time.
Right.
You don't want, again, to be pulled out of an op from your front office saying, can you get on the phone with Mrs. Jones to talk about them moving their appointment or canceling their appointment, or for them to think that you're just sitting around and can see them at any other time that you possibly might have available.
Yeah,
This is a
and this is one
business.
of the, let's say this is one of the reasons, actually, just something I thought of too, is there during COVID and kind of around that time, telemedicine or teleappointments were really, really important. And I think a lot of people were using very, very well and to kind of drive treatment a little bit. A lot of them we saw weren't. And this is the one thing that we saw is they didn't move the patient towards the treatment they needed. And they definitely didn't translate into a lot of production, things like that. What they ended up doing is just having patients kind of kick the can down the road. And on top of that, it was taking our doctors away from patient care. is taking our doctors away from production. And that's the one reason exactly that we opted not to go down that route. And I think a lot of offices have now reversed that now that it's not a necessity post-COVID. But we just didn't see that translate because it was one thing the doctor had to do that did not require a license and that was not efficient for a doctor to have those conversations in that way with the patient.
And if there's something that is a theme, we also ask our team to give our doctors that feedback. If we have one provider who their patients are constantly moving around on their schedule, or they schedule an appointment in office and they cancel before they hit the parking lot, is there something that's missing there, right? If that's part of the reason why we do our exam recordings and we do a full exam analysis so that we can give that feedback to the doctors, if were they not clear on why they needed that treatment. Sometimes people do run into financial issues, or we do have to delay things a little bit, but if all of a sudden they're not believing the treatment that you recommended for them, we say all the time, we don't ever want our patients to trust us. We want to make sure that they're clear on the facts of the situation. So that can play into it too. And again, you need your team to be able to provide that information to you. Patients, when they see the doctor, it's yes, doctor, yes, doctor. It's all rainbows and butterflies. They know that you have the sharp instruments. They're not stupid. You're not going to get the honest feedback from your patients a lot of the time. You need your team for that, for them to be the eyes and the ears, because again, it all translates back to your production.
Right.
Well, this is not the last time we will be talking about this by any stretch of the imagination. If you have more questions of how we can help you with some of these systems and implementing these policies, you can reach out to us. Our email is connect@pathwaydentalsolutions.com. We also have our website, pathwaydentalsolutions.com, and we are on all of the social platforms. If you are interested in becoming a private client, we are here to help you and talk through the options with you.
All right.
We'll be back next week for another Toolbox Tuesday. Have a good day, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.